Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Dick shoot, star! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Kept in by Kyrou to Thomas. Back to Shen.
Now to Kyrou! And the shot partially blocked by Eklund with 8 seconds to go. Last chance for St. Louis here. The Sharks poke it away. What a job by Wennberg to steal it. And he just holds it along the boards, sends it down the ice. The game ends. The horn will sound. And the Sharks congratulate goaltender Alexander Georgiev. They come out to congratulate Georgiev with the first victory in his books as a member of the San Jose Sharks. Macklin Celebrini, his first 2 road goals ever, and the San Jose Sharks finish this 6-game road trip at 3-3 against some of the top teams in hockey. The final tonight, the Sharks 4 and the Blues 3.
Yeah, I mean, you saw in the third there, he bent a little bit. Didn't break, though. I thought we did a good job of coming out of that. Wasn't the prettiest. Wasn't our best game all around, but like you said, we're in these games. These are meaningful games, and these are good teams that we're going up against, and that's all we're kind of looking to do, build that kind of winning mentality, and you're seeing it here.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? I know that we are waking up winners as the San Jose Sharks finish a 6-game road trip at 500 with a record of 3-3. Now, when the Sharks went on the road to the East Coast earlier this season, they went with 1 win and a couple of points that they earned in shootout losses. And a lot of people were saying, oh, that's a 500 road trip because you take 4 out of 8 points. And no, it doesn't work that well. They did get half of the points. I'm not going to deny that. But you got to get half the wins. And the Sharks got half the wins on this road trip. Yes, they got one of those against Seattle. Yes, they got one of those against St. Louis. But you know what? Those are beatable teams. And then in 4 heavy hitters in the East, only 1 game were they completely out of, Tampa Bay. They played very well in Florida. They were right there till the end against Carolina, and they beat Washington. Yeah, the Tampa game was ugly. We don't have to talk about that. But the Sharks did their job on this road trip. They beat the 2 teams that I think we all thought they were capable of beating in Seattle and St. Louis, and they stole 1 out of the other 4. And for where the Sharks are at this point in time, where they are still learning how to win, where they are still learning what kind of a team they are, where they are still learning what it takes in the NHL, this to me is big progress because the Sharks are beating teams that they should beat. They beat Seattle at home. They beat Seattle on the road. They beat St. Louis on the road. Third time the charm for San Jose. Now we go back to the month of November. They beat Columbus at home. They beat Detroit at home. They beat the Kings at home. Maybe that one is relatively unexpected, but they still did do it. They beat Seattle at home. And I said that last month, the month of November, after that back-to-back wins against Seattle home and away, that that was going to be a reference point to where we talked about things changing for San Jose, November of 2024. Well, they started off the month of December with a 2nd straight road win, their 3rd in a row. They followed it with 3 straight losses, Tampa, Florida, Carolina. Only one of those games were they not in it. And then they go and they beat St. Louis by a final of 4-3 tonight. And now they've got what I would say is a winnable game against Utah coming up on Saturday. Now, Utah was taking on Colorado earlier tonight, and they did walk away with a 4-1 win. It was not Blackwood in net for Colorado. It was Wedgwood. It is a hockey club team of Utah, which is just does not roll off the tongue. They are at 13 wins, 11 losses, and 5 overtime losses on the year. That is not distinctly different from where San Jose is now at 11-16-5. But the difference between these two teams is that the Sharks start out 0-7-2. I don't know specifically what the Utah starting nine games record was, but I know it wasn't that bad. I know the Sharks were the last team in the league to get a win. I know the Sharks are now no longer at the bottom of the standings in the NHL, which is something that I think is very much something to be proud of. But I do also look at San Jose and say, okay, this is a winnable game coming up against a Utah team. And then you just kind of go from there. Because after Utah, you're going to be hosting Winnipeg, who I would assume you want to get a little bit of revenge on, but that's going to be a very difficult situation. Then you're hosting Colorado. Again, a difficult situation, and maybe you're seeing Mackenzie Blackwood. Then you're out on the road against Edmonton and Vancouver. Those are two difficult games. And then you've got Vegas, Calgary, and Philadelphia at home to finish off the month and the year. So while the Sharks did survive this stretch of games by going 3-3, the gauntlet overall that is the month of December has not come to a close. And that's why I think this win for the San Jose Sharks was so important, because they took care of a lot of things that have plagued them in recent games. And in this one, they came out early and took the lead, and they came out with aggression. I believe the term that Randy Hahn used was smash mouth hockey, but the San Jose Sharks came out and played aggressively. And the first two periods were absolutely great for them. And I think that they did feel that pushback from St. Louis in the third period. And many of us probably thinking, oh my God, is this going to be a repeat of game number one of the season? But St. Louis, while they are not an amazing team, I do think they are a potentially good team. They are 14-14-2 at this point of the year. That is not significantly better than where San Jose is, but I do think that they are probably a little bit better than their record. But they were going to push back in this game, and San Jose was able to absorb it, and it happened at different moments in the game. The Sharks go up 1-0. St. Louis comes back. The Sharks get two goals from Macklin Celebrini. They go up 3-1. Well, then suddenly St. Louis starts battling back once again. They score a goal to make it 3-2. San Jose gets another goal. That makes it 4-2. And then St. Louis makes it 4-3. Okay, so this game is not going away. And then, you know, for the majority of the third period, it felt like St. Louis, especially in those last 10 minutes, was just going to be all over San Jose. It felt like the ice was tilted 45 degrees down towards the Sharks' end. And every time the Sharks tried to get it clear, they just couldn't. They got pinned in their own end. And we saw it over and over and over again, just wave after wave of attacking formation from St. Louis. And San Jose just had to absorb it. San Jose watched their 4-2 lead turn into a 4-3 lead. And still, they had to absorb. They had to defend. They had to do everything that it took in this game to walk away with 2 points. They had to fight all the way to the end, as the opposition tried to do what they've done to teams in the course of the season, which is, you know, get that late third period goal, get the third period comeback, force overtime, see if anything can happen. San Jose fought at every single step of this game. Were they as good in the third period as they were in the first or second period? No, not at all. But they were good enough. And I think that is the main difference of where the Sharks have been versus where they are currently and where they have the potential to go. Right now, the Sharks are 5-5. In their last 10 games. I'll take that any day of the week. They're 11-16-5 after an 0-7-2 start. So yeah, I'm going to be continually impressed and pleased with where San Jose is going with all this, especially when they keep on pulling out wins like they did in tonight's game. They took control of the game. This is something that we keep on pointing to with San Jose as well. Like the game in LA, like both the games in Seattle. This was a game where San Jose took control. They were up 1-0. They didn't trail. They go up 2-1. They go up 3-1. St. Louis comes back. Well, they have an answer for that. They go up 4-2. St. Louis scores another goal. They still gave themselves enough of that buffer to be able to manage the game till the end. And they walk away with a hard-fought, aggressive road win to go 3-3 on a critical six-game road trip. Because I talked about it on the buildup. I talked about it on NBC pregame live with Randy and Drew. People were very much going to judge this Sharks road trip by whether or not they went 3-3 or 2-4. Two very different reactions to the road trip were going to be had out of this game, and the Sharks got the good one. Now, whether or not it would have been fair or whether or not it is fair to judge them by 2-4 or 3-3, I still think even if the Sharks had lost that game last night, you still would have been very pleased with a lot of the play that you saw out there on the ice. Except for the game in Tampa, I really liked everything that I saw from San Jose. But the Sharks did walk away with that 3-3 record by way of the win, and just an impressive performance all around. The San Jose Sharks right now continue to find high-level performances. They continue to find high-level performers. They continue to come up with the big answers when they are being asked of them. And if things had gone slightly different in Carolina, the Sharks could have been walking away with a 4-win road trip out of 6. And I know we can do the ifs and buts game until we are blue in the face, but I think it is worth noting that San Jose gave themselves a chance in everything but the Tampa Bay game and now walk away with their heads held high as they come home after 6 on the road. And we will see what they do against what I believe is a winnable opponent in the game against Utah. All right, so let's talk about the difference makers in this game. And I will point out that Tyler Toffoli, who started the game with the opening goal, a minute 21 in, his 12th of the year, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Nikolai Kovalenko. But that's not even a major talking point in this game. And that's wild because Tyler Toffoli has been such a quality, consistent performer for San Jose. He has 12 goals on the year. That's really all you need to know about Tyler Toffoli. He just produces night in, night out for San Jose. He continues to be everything that they hoped they were getting when they signed him, and I would argue even more. But, you know, now he's got 12 goals and 8 assists. He's got 20 points on the year. He has been doing it all for San Jose. I will take that any day of the week from Tyler Toffoli. But when we look at this game, we've got a couple of bigger storylines to talk about. Newcomer Nikolai Kovalenko, he has a 3-assist night. Yeah, 3-assist night in his second game with the San Jose Sharks. He assists on the Toffoli goal. He assists on Macklin Celebrini's first goal. And he assists on Jake Walman's game-winning goal. That is absolutely massive. It's his second game, guys. It's his second game. He's now got 11 points on the year. Not bad for a 25-year-old rookie who is playing now 2 days for the San Jose Sharks. But this is a player that I like to think of it this way, that Mike Greer and his staff saw and said, you know what? We can do something with this guy. We like his game. So a 3-point night for Nikolai Kovalenko. Now, before we get to Macklin Celebrini, I also want to talk about Jake Walman. Jake Walman had the game-winning goal in this game, and he continues to be a consistent producer for San Jose. That is one of the things that I was hoping he would be when he came to this team, and he has been that up to this point. And this is what we look at when we look at Kovalenko, when we look at Walman, when we look at some of the other players the Sharks have been able to acquire. Timothy Liljegren is another good example. He had a point in last night's game. These are players that were not exactly sought after. Liljegren wasn't getting playing time in Toronto when they made that trade for Matt Benning. He's come here in San Jose and he's been a consistent producer. No one was really looking at Jake Walman as having the value that he's had up to this point with San Jose. Jake Walman's previous career high in terms of points was 21 last year with Detroit. He is already at 20 points for San Jose. Obviously, these guys are getting more ice time. Obviously, they are being given more responsibility than they were with previous teams. But I do think it's worth noting that Jake Walman is now 1 point off of his all-time high, which, that means that it was a good acquisition. That means that he's finding his game here in San Jose to an extent that he was not previously. And again, you look at what Mike Greer and his team have been able to identify. I'm going to celebrate this every day of the week. Now, you go beyond Jake Walman. You look at Mikael Granlund. He had another point because that's all Mikael Granlund does. He just racks up points. He's been a point-per-game producer. If you did not catch my interview with him on the build-up, I suggest you go back and listen to it because he's always just so nonchalant. He's always just so into the moment. I appreciate his entire personality. Obviously, Tyler Toffoli had a goal in this one. Liljegren had a point. Sturm had a point. But Macklin Celebrini, my goodness, that kid is good. And we are getting new sides of his game, I feel, in every single game that we watch. Like, you see his decision-making. You see his passing. You see his shot. You see his skating. You see just everything. Macklin Celebrini does it all for San Jose, And again, I cannot get over the fact that he has developed so quickly before our eyes. And I go back to the narrative. You didn't think that you were getting a player as good as Connor Bedard. I think I can make a pretty good argument right now that he might be better than Connor Bedard simply because of the two-way aspect of his game. You know, Connor Bedard might be a little bit better of an athlete overall, but Macklin Celebrini, I am not seeing any athletic deficiencies in his game. He's fast. He's explosive. He's smart. He sees the ice as well as anybody out there in the game that he's playing. Obviously, we haven't seen him against a Connor McDavid at this point, but I do look at what he is able to do, and I see Macklin Celebrini showing superstar ability in every single game. You get, you know, the goal that he plays it off the defender and gets it back and then scores the goal. He said that he wasn't trying to do that on purpose, that he was looking for a little sauce pass back door. I don't know. Maybe you believe him, maybe you don't. But still, it was a great play. He puts the puck in a dangerous position. He tries to make something out of nothing. He tries to make something happen more accurately. And guess what? Something did happen by way of a goal. And then you go to his second goal where it looked like he had been hunting around for a while there. It felt like something was going to come. He eventually got a little bit of space. He just hesitated enough to give himself that opportunity to get the shot off. And he put the puck in the back of the net and suddenly it was 3-1. And suddenly Macklin Celebrini took part in the first three goals of the game. He had two goals and assist, another three-point night, another just reason for everybody across the NHL to say, what on earth is going on with this kid in San Jose? He's so young. He's so ahead of the curve. He's developing so quickly. You go listen to the interview I did with the hockey guy the other day. He compared him to Jack Hughes and said the difference is that he's way ahead of where Jack Hughes was early in his career. It took a while for Jack Hughes to develop. Right now, it is not taking Macklin Celebrini any time at all. And Macklin Celebrini continues to rack up these points. He's moving into the area of the leaders for the Sharks. He didn't play in 12 games. He got 2 points in the first game against St. Louis, a game which San Jose lost, and then they were out, or then he was out, for the next 12 games. Since he's been back, he's been nails, racking up points, racking up goals, racking up assists. He is a difference maker, and we get to watch it every single night. It's a lot of fun. I think that one of the things that I have heard from people is that they want to tune into a Sharks game, be it on the audio network, be it on TV, just to figure out what Macklin Celebrini is going to do. They like to see the highlights. They like to hear the exploits. They like to figure out whether or not they're watching the next great Bay Area superstar. And in my opinion, they are. I understand we're coming off a time period in which we just had a player like Steph Curry go to the highest of highs in the NBA, but it does feel like something very, very special is happening with Macklin Celebrini, albeit at a much more accelerated rate. Steph Curry had injuries early in his career, and it took him a while to break through, and a lot of people thought it wasn't a very good pick when the Warriors decided to draft him. Everybody thought it was a great pick when San Jose drafted Macklin Celebrini. I just don't think everybody knew how good he was going to be this quickly, and that's what I keep on coming back to. Macklin Celebrini plays like a superstar. He's 20 games into his career. He plays like a superstar 20 games into his career. I don't think we felt that way about Connor McDavid. I think we all saw the potential. I don't really remember how we felt about Sidney Crosby 20 games into his career, but I know we all saw there was a lot of potential. But I think Macklin Celebrini, the way he's playing at this point, it makes you feel like he could turn into one of those guys. Now, he might not. I can't tell you what Macklin Celebrini will be when we're 10 years from now talking about the peak of his career, but my goodness, he plays a dangerous, impactful game every single night. And I think the other thing about this road trip is that it was a learning experience for Macklin Celebrini because he had to learn from that game in Tampa where he got benched for the final 7 minutes. We don't even have to say benched because I don't know that it was a benching. They gave him some rest because he's been playing a lot of hockey. But he learned, I think, in that instant, just how difficult life on the road in the NHL can be, especially when you're going up against top-tier teams. Tampa Bay is a team that I don't think anyone's going to be surprised if they're one of the final contenders. Florida, again, the defending champs. No one's going to be surprised if they're one of the final four teams. Same story with Carolina. But Macklin did not have much success in that game against Tampa. But you know what? He had a little bit of the same thing going on in the game against Florida. The first period was pretty quiet. And then he kind of fought his way through it and started making his impact more felt throughout the game. Carolina, he was impactful throughout the game. Then this game in St. Louis, in which we are not talking about the top tier competition in the NHL, he found his way into the game early and just kept on adding on to it. But I think you look back at that game against Tampa when he had to go to an A or switch from his A to his B, C, D game, whatever we want to call it. He figured out different aspects of his game. And then in this game against St. Louis, I think that he had to be a little bit smarter at times. I think one of the most important aspects of the game was when, I think it was early in the second period, he started trying to, you know, just hurl himself down the ice, and he was going to try and dangle between four defenders, which is something head coach Ryan Warsawski has said they need to work on. Instead of doing that, he just did a 180. He just looped back around, reset, tried to figure out where his teammates were, and made another go of it. There have been other times this year where Macklin Celebrini has just, you know, tried to go pedal to the metal and somehow dangle between four defenders. And yeah, sometimes he might do it, but also you need to figure out you're on the road, you're looking for a 3-3 road trip. You need to make sure that you don't put your team in a bad position, that you don't make a critical error. And Macklin Celebrini saw in real time what could have turned into something poor. He made a quick decision. He was not of two minds. He came up, didn't like what he saw, did a big loop around, reset, and then played forward once again. That is learning. That is figuring out that, hey, you know what? I haven't had always the greatest level of success with this specific move. Maybe instead of giving the puck away and potentially putting us in a bad situation, I will reset. And that doesn't make him any less of a player. You don't want to look at, well, Connor McDavid could have, Nathan MacKinnon. No, I don't care what they could have done. I think that in the moment, Macklin Celebrini realized that his decision-making may not be the best in that particular moment and what happened previously when he tried to just force his way through defenders. So instead, he just played a safer route and held the possession of the puck. And the Sharks, we know they've had trouble getting the puck out of their own end, leading to goals. Turnovers at their own blue line or in the neutral zone have led to goals. Macklin Celebrini did not want to turn it over in the neutral zone and have it come back in his face. And so he made the wise move. And I think sometimes, even if it's not the most aggressive move, because I am a believer that sports rewards aggression, he did the move that at the moment felt best to him. And those are those learning moments for a young player's career where they say, you know what? I got to hold on to the possession right now. That's more important. That's more important than just trying to force through and see what I can do. He knows what he can do. And the sooner he figures out what he can do, the sooner he'll figure out what he can't do. And I think in that moment, probably looked at the spacing and said, you know what, Mac, this is not going to work out too well. Let's turn it around. And he did. And he gave the Sharks a greater chance of winning. And before I go any further, I can't believe I even talked about this gentleman as of yet. I got to give a huge amount of credit to Alexander Georgiev. He played a phenomenal game. I know that, you know, some goals were scored against him, but he has a lot to prove. I'm sure he's upset about being traded from Colorado and wants to prove them wrong about their decision-making, but he came up with some big saves in this game. And I think that as a quote-unquote reclamation project, San Jose can try and figure things out with him. Because I look at what guys have been able to do in San Jose. Mackenzie Blackwood was a guy who was seen as a reclamation project. You look at Mikhail Granlund, similar story. You know, you look at the players that you have in Fabian Zetterlin. He was not the centerpiece of that trade. Fabian Zetterlin has been a very solid player for San Jose. Kovalenko, by the way, has been playing in two games, had a three-point game last night. He was a big part of the win, just like Georgiev was. So I think watching Georgiev in this game have a high-level performance and make some big saves, hopefully he's able to refine the confidence that he had earlier in his career and with Colorado, because I think he is a talented goalie. They've just got to figure out how to get him back on the rails, because he'd come off the rails, as we like to say, but figure out what's been wrong in his game. I give a lot of credit to the Sharks coaching staff because I think they can figure things out, and they were able to do so with Mackenzie Blackwood, and now they have to see if they can do it with Alexander Georgiev. And I'm excited to see if he can reclaim it, because I think a goalie like him has a lot to prove, and I'm excited to watch him prove it. All right, let's get into some of the highlights from last night. It was Tyler Toffoli who struck first for San Jose.
Sharks on top of it. Former St. Louis Blue, Jake Walman, who had a great game last game, throws it in the corner, centering feet in front. Macklin Celebrini right there to tip it on goal, and a sliding save. Score! The rebound picked up behind goaltender Binnington, and it's Tyler Toffoli putting the team in front 1-0. The key, though, was that Walman got that puck into the corner down low, and the Sharks made the play in front.
A great goal to start off the game. Just hard work, effort, everybody attacking the puck, crashing the net. A puck is loose. Something can happen. Tyler Toffoli, as usual, right place, right time, gives the San Jose Sharks the lead, but St. Louis did come roaring back.
It's Luke Cunning moving in with Alex Wenberg and Barkley Goodrow. They're forechecking. Cunning got the hit, but Suter flings it out. Here come the Blues. Neighbors down the left wing side. Nice move. Shoot. Score! Wow! What a toe drag down the left wing side for Jake Neighbors, and he lets a wrist shot go that I'm not sure if Georgiev saw because it was so fast, it just blasted by him like a blur. And Jake Neighbors, who had that shootout deciding goal here in St. Louis back a couple of weeks ago, ties this game 1-1.
Yeah, Neighbors absolutely put a rocket on frame. I don't think Georgiev had any chance to stop that one, but it suddenly was a 1-1 game. Then we get into the second period where it becomes the Macklin Celebrini show.
Tottaway shoots one in. He's got a 7-game point scoring streak, and he's got the puck off the deflection. He's stick handling, circumnavigating the San Jose zone, but Celebrini's putting pressure on him defensively, forcing him to backhand down the boards to an open spot, and only Sharks players are there, and they're going to be able to break out. Liljegren to Celebrini. 2-on-1 with Toffoli. Tried to pass it. Now he shoots. He scores! Macklin Celebrini with his first career road goal. The San Jose Sharks take a 2-1 lead.
So at this point of the game, the San Jose Sharks are leading 2-1. Tyler Toffoli scored the first goal, assisted by Macklin Celebrini. Now Macklin Celebrini gets a goal to go with his one assist. Again, 2-1 San Jose. More Macklin.
Behind the net, Granlund whips it around. Celebrini will stop it on his backhand on the right point. Turns away. Little drop pass away from Sundqvist. Now Wallman back to Celebrini. Now down low to Wenberg. Walks in front. Toffoli the shot. Oh, what a save in front by Binnington. Rebound not cleared out here. Celebrini feeding it to the right. Wallman the drive. Save made by Binnington. 13 seconds left in the period. Maybe one more chance. Here's Celebrini getting it. In the left circle. Score! Macklin Celebrini moved from the right side of the defense to the left circle. Got the pass across the rink and banged in his second goal of the game. It's a power play goal with 6.7 seconds left in the second period. Wowie wow. 3-1 San Jose.
We've been on the other side of it, obviously, but we know what a killer it is when you give up a goal that late into the period. 7 seconds remained in the second period, and Macklin Celebrini, with his second goal of the period, had just put the San Jose Sharks up by 2, a score of 3-1. We go to the third period, 5:34 in. Braden Schenn makes it a 3-2 game.
Blues push it wide of the goal. Braden Schenn back on the ice, slides it across the rink. Now the shot by Kessel blocked. It's loose. Schenn scores. So the Blues captain steps up and gets it done. Braden Schenn, who had that overtime winner on opening night at SAP Center, makes it a one-goal game. This one is even strength. It's the Sharks 3 and the Blues 2 with 5:34 gone by in the third.
So suddenly the Sharks' two-goal lead back to 1. Then, 27 seconds later, Jake Wallman finds the back of the net, assisted by Nikolai Kovalenko, his third assist of the night, and Nico Sturm.
Comes Dylan Holloway, 7-game point scoring streak on the line, moves into the Sharks zone with a one-handed pass into the corner. Right back there is Nico Sturm to get control, and he sends it ahead. 2-on-1 developing. Down the right, Kovalenko. He's got Wallman coming in with him, gives him the puck. Score! Jake Wallman gets the perfect pass from Nikolai Kovalenko, who picks up his third assist. The Sharks strike back, and they're up 4-2 with 13:59 to play.
What I loved about this is that it was such a response goal, right? Like, you're up 3-1, and then suddenly the St. Louis Blues get a goal to make it 3-2. Your buffer's been cut into. There's a lot of game left to play at that point. You know the push is on from that point. And then Jake Wallman comes up with that big goal to make it 4-2. Sharks have a little bit more breathing room, and they would need it, as just about 2 minutes later, it was Jordan Kyrou, who else, who makes it a one-goal game once again.
Rebound picked back up far side. Blues have it. Suter keeps it in. Feeds to Kyrou. Left circle. Turns away from a check. Gives to Thomas. Looking for it back. Takes the shot. Score! Well, the magic of the top guys for St. Louis coming through to get them back in this game. That's Kyrou and Thomas cycling in the left wing corner. And Kyrou gets it back in the slot. And he beats goaltender Georgiev. That is a third goal for St. Louis. The Sharks lead by 1-4-3.
Like Dan said, it's 4-3. The Sharks have the lead. St. Louis would come at them wave after wave for the remainder of the game. But San Jose held on for a huge, huge win, 4-3, a 3-3 road trip. They're coming back home, and now they've got Utah, what we feel is a winnable game on Saturday night at the Tank. Look at that. We are all out of time. Macklin Celebrini, Nikolai Kovalenko, Alexander Georgiev, Tyler Toffoli, Jake Walman, Nico Sturm, Tim Liljegren. It's a team win. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.